I'll be in the book of Genesis in a few minutes. It's a really easy book to find if you're new to the Bible, because it's the first book of the Bible, so you can find Genesis pretty well. We'll be in chapter 12 in a few minutes, not just yet. And this week's message is called blessings. And that's a word we use often in the Christian world, blessings and variants of it. We use it in lots of ways, and the Bible does too. But we say, God bless you, or we say, count your blessings. We'll say, oh, I'm blessed. I was so blessed to have this thing happen, or whatever it is. You're at a meal, and you say, oh, so-and-so, would you say the blessing, as in a prayer? And we use it in prayer. Please bless Steve and Michelle and whatever they're going through, Lord. Please bless them during this hard time. You could speak a verbal blessing over a person. You could speak a verbal blessing over a group. And there's many more examples of that, but you get the idea. It's a word we use quite often. And the thing is, the word is very biblical. It's not like a word we made up to sound more Christian. It's used in many, many different ways in God's word. But, and this is a caution that we always need to think about the phrases and words that we tend to use in the church. There are some things that we can hear it so much and say it so much that it can become something we say, and we don't really think about what we're saying. Here's a good example. It shouldn't step on too many toes, I don't think, or maybe a little, but it won't hurt. And this is saying the word blessings both inside and outside the church. It's very common in our culture. Someone sneezes, and another person will say often, God bless you. All right? If you're a person that says that after somebody sneezes, are you truly asking God to bless that person? If you say, yeah, I am, that's good. Well, why don't you say it when someone coughs or bonks their head or falls down or something? God bless you. It's only for sneezing. Some people say Gesundheit, which is a German word, and it doesn't mean God bless you. Some people think it's German for God bless you. It's really not. It literally means health. You're just saying health. And in Latin America, when we lived in Guatemala, they do the same thing. We were down there. I knew what the word salud meant, and that's health. It's just like Gesundheit. And the first time I sneezed and somebody said, salud, they said health, I was, what are you saying health for? What does that mean? Well, they say it just like we do, the God bless you. They're saying it because that's what you're supposed to say. That's considered polite. And they're really not saying the word health to you. It's like a shortcut to say, I hope you're not getting sick. I hope that you're okay. I hope you have good health. But it's the same thing often, not always, in the United States. God bless you. We say it because that's what you're supposed to say, or what you were taught to say. So again, if you say that to someone, are you thinking about what you were saying? Yeah, you're being polite. That's good. We need politeness. It helps society and all of that. But are you truly asking God to bless that person? I'll let you answer the question. I told you all of that to say this. Words have meaning. They're supposed to have meaning. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have authority in the name of Jesus. Now, I don't mean that you have the kind of authority where you can speak something into existence and say, I want a car, and you get the certain car. You can leave that false teaching to the prosperity gospel teachers. But you do have some authority when you speak on behalf of Jesus. So your words mean something, or they should matter. They should mean something. So don't ever treat your words like they don't matter. And don't toss out cutesy Christian talk and phrases. Instead, let God use you as his mouthpiece when speaking to anyone, inside, outside the church. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that all believers are ambassadors for Christ. We're his representatives. He charged the church with being his representatives until he comes back for us, or we go home to be with them, whichever comes first. So if you're going to say something, mean it and use the authority God has given you, including the word blessings and all its variants and different ways, we use it. We don't always do this, but Often in our service, we end our time together with a song called The Blessing, and we really only do the chorus part of it. It comes straight from God's Word. It's part of the blessing that God gave to Moses, and Moses was to pass it on. And it's out of Numbers 6, 24 through 26. And I'll just read it really quick here. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now, every time we sing that, what I hope you're doing, and if you're not, you could start the next time we do it, but we are blessing one another in the name of Jesus. If we're really thinking about those words that we sing at the end, we want to bless our fellow brothers and sisters. The Hebrew root word in the Old Testament for, which is blessing in the English, it means health creating power. That's like just its exact translation. Health creating power. And don't always think as health as your body and different ailments you might come across, but mental health, spiritual health. Health creating power is the idea in the Old Testament and the use of that word. You may know about the customs of Jewish fathers giving blessings to their children. There's a couple of examples of that in the Old Testament. And this was more than the father saying, well, good luck, I hope it all goes okay with you, I'll be praying for you. It was something very powerful in that culture. And there was authority behind that blessing, particularly those in covenant with God. Now, when you see the word blessing in the New Testament in English, the Greek word behind that, the Greek root, means something like to speak well, like encouragement, you know, just speak well, to speak well of. Blessing still has authority and power when one is in covenant with God through Jesus. So it's not just for Jewish people. We've been adopted into God's family. Let's take a look at one example of God giving a blessing, Genesis 12. I'm there now. And it's one that really literally still blesses every follower of Jesus to this day. So Genesis 12, starting at verse 1, and it'll be on the screens as well. I'm using the NIV today, New International Version. Verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Abram was later named Abraham by God. You might know him better by Abraham. Abraham, same guy. And just as God promised Abram thousands of years ago, a great nation came from Abram and his family. And it was the Jewish people. And they're still around today, millions of them. From the Jewish people came Jesus, the Savior of the world, your Savior, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, came through that line. And I hope you know him. I hope you call him Lord. And if you don't, or you're not sure where you are, just give me a call, a text, or something. We'll get together. I'd love to talk to you about Jesus. Now think about what God said. Let's bounce back to verse 2 again real quick. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. So he blessed Abram, later Abraham, and said Abram would be a blessing back. A quick look at verse 3 again. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed because of you, or through you. He said that the nation that would come from Abram would be blessed. So not just Abram, but the entire nation. And that nation would bless all people, not just themselves, but all people in turn. And when you think about blessings or being blessed, it's not just to have good things, good health and happiness, all those are types of blessings. Remember that God's blessings are not going to always line up with the world's definitions or even our own definitions of blessings. And if we won't go there now, but you can read in Matthew chapter 5 the Beatitudes, and they're completely opposite of what the world calls blessings. We are blessed because we are loved by God. In turn, we are to be a blessing to others, just like the Jewish nation. So we are to share our blessings, material-wise and otherwise. God blesses every follower of Jesus in many ways, and he has different ways he blesses each of us. It doesn't all look the same. So are you blessing others with your words, your actions, your property, your anything else that you have? And I find this very interesting. We can bless God. That's very profound to me, that we can bless God. That kind of language is, you can find it several places in the Psalms. Psalm 103, verse 1 is an example. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. But God accepts our blessings. The great Charles Spurgeon, don't know if you know him, he died at age 57 in 1892. He said this about us blessing God. We can bless God by praising him, extolling him, desiring all honor for him, ascribing all good to him, magnifying and lauding his holy name. I mean, what a privilege we have to be able to bless God, and he receives it as a blessing. He sends as a blessing from us. And that fits in very nicely with our prayer focus for that, or for this week, making God our first love. Remember again that the Jewish people were blessed, promise of God, and that they would bless others. And in the same way, we're adopted into God's family. I mentioned that before. We are to do the same. We're part of God's family. Therefore, we should willingly bless other people in his name. This should be just our normal thing to do. Now, whatever generation you are in now, whatever, you know, single digits, teens, and on up to 80s, 90s, whatever it is, you have a biblical mandate to bless younger people. Spiritually and otherwise, it's not limited to younger people. You bless anybody you want of any age. But particularly, we are to bless young people so that they can bless the next generation after we're gone. And that generation can bless their children and their children and their children and their children and their children. Let me show you a couple of verses in Psalm 78. In context, he's talking about the law of Moses, but the concept is exactly the same for a follower of Jesus. Psalm 78, part of verse 5 and all of verse 6. He decreed statutes, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Now this is why Bethel's working on bringing in a full-time youth pastor. A youth pastor, and I was one many years ago, it's not something that replaces the spiritual mandate every parent has to lead their children to Jesus, and that's the responsibility of a parent. But having a youth pastor here is to enhance and encourage young people as they make decisions about Jesus, not just the initial decision, but as they grow in Christ. I don't know if you know this, but we've got a few teenagers up here and scattered around. I'm not going to pick on any of you, don't worry. And I feel like every generation kind of says this, but I think it's really true that teenagers today, if you are over the age of 30, which is a lot of people in here, they are dealing with things that hadn't been invented yet that caused problems in their life, that caused temptation in their lives. And Jesus, he's the answer to all those issues. Now, if you're mature in Christ, you know that. But our teens need to know that because they get bombarded with stuff every single day. It never lets up. We love our teenagers. We love our children, this church. You know, telling people about Jesus is a great blessing to to pass on to other people. And it's not just telling them about Jesus, all sorts of kind of blessings. But we tell somebody about Jesus, and it's a blessing to people that have not been born yet. Encouragement, investments of time, discipleship. When you do those things, however you do them, they don't have to look the same from person to person. But you have no idea of what the effects will be long after you are gone. And this morning I want to illustrate that with something, a video. You may have seen this. It's taken from the 1997 Emmy Awards. I don't really watch the Emmy Awards. I don't watch the Emmy Awards. But at the 1997, they gave Fred Rogers a Lifetime Achievement Award. He's better known to most people as Mr. Rogers. And I don't know if you grew up with TV or without TV, but I did, and I grew up watching his show almost every day. And Mr. Rogers took a look at television, and he had the same concerns in the 1960s as you have today. There was a lot of junk on TV, and he didn't like it. And instead of complaining about all of that, he decided to do something about it. So in 1968, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood started running on PBS stations, usually, in this country. It was still in production through 2001, and Fred Rogers died a few years after that. Maybe you've watched the Emmys or the Academy Awards, or you've seen pictures or videos of this stuff. So imagine there. Wasn't any different in 1997 than it is now. Celebrities are there to be seen, right? And secretly, although they would never admit this, they really hope that they'll win the award if they've been nominated. Imagine all the money that's spent on makeup and hair and clothes. And that's just the men, right? Took you a minute there, didn't it? Fred Rogers was a believer in Christ. He's with Jesus now. He could have come out, and he only had a few minutes, right? He could have come out and taken his bows and soaked in the applause and thanked people, talk about himself. Nobody would have batted an eye. It's Mr. Rogers. They wouldn't care. But instead, he took his few minutes, and he decided he would bless the people that were there. Most of them were people that he would not have agreed with in their lifestyle choices, in the way they entertain people. But he blessed them. And I'm sure the people that are still alive that happened to be there that night have never forgotten this moment. Many people, celebrities, were in tears, and I've cut the video short. You won't get to see all the shots of that, but celebrities in tears because Mr. Rogers took time to bless them.
So many people have helped me to come to this night. Some of you are here. Some are far away. Some are even in heaven. All of us have special ones who have loved us into being. Would you just take, along with me, 10 seconds to think of the people who have helped you become who you are? Those who have cared about you and wanted what was best for you in life. 10 seconds of silence. I'll watch the time. Whomever you've been thinking about, how pleased they must be to know the difference you feel they've made.
He goes on a little bit and thanks a few people. I just cut that off. And the last thing he says to this Hollywood crowd, Liza Minnelli's sitting there crying, he said, the last thing he said before he stepped off the stage was, "May God be with you." Now, sometimes we have reflection questions at the end of sermons, not all sermons here, and I'll say, when we're going to take some time of silence, I'll say, "I'll watch the time." Now you know where I stole that from. That's my little personal tribute to Fred Rogers. It's just for me. I've never told that to anyone, including Diana, until today. But Mr. Rogers took his opportunity to bless people. He wasn't going to be able to get up there and preach. Who knows how that affected those folks? And now that YouTube's been around since 2006, that video has been watched millions and millions of times. We all have people that got us to where we are today, no matter what your age is. And most importantly, someone told you about Jesus. Most likely it was a combination of people, maybe parents, a Sunday school, and a kids club, or whatever, you know, all the things that we do, and whether you grew up in this church or not. But there was probably a combination of people that told you about Jesus. So someone told you, or someone's told you, several someone's told you about Jesus. Who was it? Who told you about Jesus? Psalm 102, verse 18 says this. Let it be written for a future generation that a people not created may praise the Lord. That's profound. That a people not yet created may praise the Lord. There are people in the Bethel family that have died decades ago. Our church goes back to about 155 years. And there were people then and that have gone along the way and up to present time. Decades they've been gone. They've been with Jesus, actually. But people that worked and they prayed and they sacrificed and they gave and most importantly, they proclaimed the name of Jesus. And for those of you that grew up in this church, and even those that didn't, like me, they blessed you. All of us. And they don't know. They didn't know you because you weren't created yet. You hadn't been born. They blessed their church family and many other people, not just in their lifetime, not just their children, but they blessed those that came after them, that would come after them after they were dead and living in heaven. And they also blessed those people's children and their 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 children. And like me and others of you that grew up in different contexts other than Bethel, however that happened, those people continue. Even if you didn't grow up here, those people are still blessing us from decades ago, even though they live with Jesus now. Both sets of my grandparents were believers. They took their kids to church. They followed Jesus, as imperfect as they were, like all of us. And they blessed their families, which in turn blessed my sisters and me. My parents took us to church and told us about Jesus. And Diana and I did our best to do the same for our children, as imperfect as we all are. And now I've got two granddaughters sitting right up there, and they're not just being blessed only by their parents. They're being blessed by people they have never met, both in their family and here. And that will go on to their children, if they have children, and to their children, and to their children, and to their children, and their children. I'm going to blatantly steal from Mr. Rogers this morning. I don't think he would mind at all. I think he would smile on this. And I'm going to give you a bit more time than he was able to give people gathered at the Emmys. But I'd like for you to think about who got you where you are today. Who invested in you? Who blessed you? Who encouraged you? Who told you about Jesus? Especially that. Who helped you get to Jesus? But other parts of life as well. So who is it? Who could that be? So take some time. We're going to have some silence here in a minute. And I'd like for you to remember the people that have blessed you. How have you been blessed? So thank God for them. I'll watch the time.